Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, and starting with verse number 37. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 37. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Amen. I'd like to minister tonight, if I could, with the Lord's help, about watching for the Lord's return. Jesus' imminent return. Amen. Let's pray. And let's ask for God's anointing upon this word and upon this service. Lord, we love you today, God. We're thankful for the word of God that you've given to us, God, and the understanding that you've given us of your word, Lord. God, I ask that you would anoint it to every heart, to every mind. Give us ears to hear what your word has to say, and we'll be sure to give you all the glory that's due unto your name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Feel free to be seated tonight. Amen. Throughout the Bible, and if you read through your Bible, especially in the New Testament, you're going to find many verses that foretell about the second coming of our Lord. Amen. It goes by different names. There's places where it refers to it as the day of the Lord or the coming of the Lord, the return of the Lord. Amen. But we believe in that tonight, don't we? We believe that the Lord is coming back. Amen. We believe that he ascended into heaven and that he's coming back to rule and reign upon this earth. The only problem with that is that we don't know exactly when. Amen. We can speculate. We can look at the signs of the times, and we can look at the things that are going on in our world, and surely the things that are going on in our world are more wicked and farther away from God than they've ever been in the history of mankind. Amen. But we really, in reality, have no idea when this is going to happen. Amen. I've heard Pastor talk about it before, about books that were written in the past, such as 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Could Be in 1988. Amen. But he missed it. And you know what? It didn't happen in 1988. Others have made predictions, but those too have not come to pass. Amen. I've heard people say that no man knows the day or the hour, but we can know the year or the month. Amen. But that doesn't hold true to the teaching of imminence, of not knowing when the Lord is going to come. Because it's unknowable for us. Amen. Jesus taught this to his disciples, and he did so using parables. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 43. You didn't have to go very far. Amen. Matthew 24 and 43, it says, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Amen. If you knew tonight that somebody was going to break into your house, amen, and you knew the time that they were going to break into your house, you knew the window that they were going to try to come in through, amen, if you knew all of these details, then you'd be standing there ready for them, wouldn't you? Amen. You'd have your baseball bat or your handgun or whatever form of protection. Amen. Maybe you'd call the police and you'd say, "They're going to be here at this time and this hour." And you'd be ready for them. Whenever they broke through that window, they would have a rude awakening. Amen. You'd be ready for them. But we don't know. Amen. We don't know when somebody's going to break into our house. We don't know when somebody is going to do these things against us. And in the same way, we don't know when the Lord is coming back. So we're told to always be ready. Matthew 24 and verse 45, going on, it says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see that this servant stopped anticipating the master's return. Maybe he did it for a little while. Maybe he was watching for a little while. But eventually he came to the place where he stopped anticipating that the master was going to come back. Maybe the master delayed his coming. Maybe he was busy and it took him longer than he had originally planned. And so he stopped being watchful. He stopped watching for the master's return. And that was exactly when the master showed up. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1 says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish." Now we know this parable. I'm not going to go through it all, but we know this. This is a very familiar parable. We've read it before. 5 of these virgins were wise, and they had their lamps full of oil, and they were ready. They were ready for the return of the master. The other 5 were foolish, and they let the oil run out. They weren't watchful. They weren't ready at any moment for the master's return. When the bridegroom came, the foolish ones missed out. Amen. In fact, in verse 12, he said, "But he answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, I know you not." I don't even know who you are. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Even though they had known him at one time, they had let their oil run out. They had stopped refilling it, and no doubt they kept the 5 that were wise, they kept their lamps burning, and the oil naturally ran out. Well, they were not without oil when the bridegroom came. That's because they were naturally refilling it. And we could preach on that. We could talk about being renewed in the Holy Ghost. But we need to make sure that our oil is always full. Amen. They let it run out. Maybe it was a day. Maybe a day passed that they ran out of oil. Maybe a month ago they got refilled on oil, but they let it pass. Perhaps it had been years before they had been filled with that oil. But regardless, the bridegroom didn't even know them. The bridegroom didn't even know them. Amen. That's a terrible place to be, to have known the Lord, to have known and to be full of the Holy Ghost, and to have fallen away and to not be renewed, so that when he came back, you weren't ready. We weren't ready for his coming. Matthew 25 and verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey." Another familiar parable here. The master gives each man talents and vows to return unto them. And the one with 5 talents, we know the story. We know that he doubled his talents. He did something. He did something to gain. He put them for usury, or he added to them, and he gained a talent here and a talent there. And so that when his master came, he had doubled his talents. And the one that had 2 also doubled his talents. But the servant that had 1 talent, he buried it in the ground, and he did nothing with it. Amen. And what does the Lord say to him? In verse 26, if we jump down a little bit, it says, "The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reaped where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received my own with usury," or with interest. Amen. This servant probably wasn't working diligently awaiting the master's return, but he was lazy. Amen. He was slothful. He was lazy with what the Lord had given to him. He was lazy with the talents that the Lord had put into him. Amen. And he didn't do anything with them. He didn't think the Lord was coming back. If he would have believed this, if he would have been watchful, he would have been trying to get increase on what the Lord had given him. Verse 30 tells us what happens. It says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant," the one that didn't go out and gain any more, "cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Amen. God forbid. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. It says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, For you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or even in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And that's not talking about what we do at night. That's talking about spiritual sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Amen. Not only are we oblivious to the month and the year when the Lord's coming back, but we don't even know the time of day that it's going to happen. Amen. We sing the song, he's coming, he could come while we're singing this song, but do we really believe that? I pray that the Lord comes back during a worship service. Amen. I pray that the Lord comes back during a Holy Ghost service. Praise God. But it may not happen that way. He may come while you're on your job. He may come while you're at your house. Amen. He may come while you're at the store. Amen. The Bible says that there's going to be two in the field. One's going to be taken and the other is going to be left. Two are going to be grinding at the mill. They're going to be at work doing the job that they have to through the course of a day. One's going to be taken and the other one's going to be left. Amen. Amen. But the Bible clearly says what we need to do is to watch. Luke 12 and 35. Amen. Each of these are verses out of the Gospels, the books relating to prophecy, relating to the end times. Luke 12 and verse 35, it says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them watching, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." So this parable is similar to the others, talking about waiting for the master or watching for the thief. In both instances, we are told to be ready. Amen. We're told to be watching. Amen. Why? Because it could happen at any time. It could happen when we least expect it. Amen. We like to try to believe that we have it all figured out. We like to try to believe that we know a time or a season that the Lord's coming back. But in all reality, we don't know anything. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. Amen. It could be tonight. And I would concur with what the apostle said, "Lord, come quickly." What the apostle John said at the end of the book of Revelation, he said, "Whatsoever, Lord, come quickly." All throughout the New Testament, after his ascension, the disciples and even the apostles were watching for the second coming of the Lord. Amen. They believed that it was going to happen in their day. The apostle Paul, the apostle Peter, they believed that it was going to happen in their day and in their time. James was watching. Amen. James chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." The Lord is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth, "and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. But ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Amen. It says, "The Lord draweth nigh." This was written over 2,000 or some 2,000 years ago. Amen. This was written around 50 AD is what's believed. The Apostle James wrote this. The leader of the church wrote this. And he said, "Establish your hearts, for the Lord draweth nigh." Amen. We know that he hasn't come back yet. Amen. But they were watching for him because they believed that he could come any day. He could come in their day. They believed that he could come while he was writing this letter. Paul was watching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. Turn there with me tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1 says, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon the woman with child, and they shall not escape." There's going to be people that are saying, "Oh, the Lord's not coming back, peace and safety," but then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Verse 4 says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should not overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Amen. We need to watch for the Lord. We need to be watching. Paul was watching for the coming of the Lord. The Apostle Peter, in his epistle, 2 Peter chapter number 3, he was watching for the Lord. And he wrote unto this general epistle unto the churches of that day. He wrote in chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Amen. You can almost pick up their mocking tone as you read that. Where's the promise of his coming? Where's he at? Amen. You're going to have scoffers in the last day that say, nothing's changed. Amen. Since the fathers fell asleep, since the fathers died, amen, nothing has changed. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where's the coming of the Lord? Where's the Lord coming? And they'll try to convince you that the Lord isn't coming back. They'll try to convince you that the Lord has already come back. Amen. They'll try to convince you that the Lord has forgotten about his church and that there's no hope. Amen. But that's not biblical. That's not what my Bible says. Verse number 9, skip down there with me tonight. It says, "The Lord, our Lord, is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's why the Lord hasn't come back. Because he's still waiting on people to come into the church. He's still waiting on people to be saved. He's still waiting on people that are in the church to get right with him. Amen. There's long suffering. That's why he hasn't come back yet. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Amen. What he's telling them is, you need to live right. You need to be living for God with everything that you've got, because there's going to come a day that this earth is going to be burned up with fire, and you don't want to see that day come upon the earth. Amen. Amen. Verse 12 says, "Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Praise God. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Amen. We need to be continually looking for the coming of the Lord. Amen. We need to be found without spot or blemish. Amen. When he comes to take his bride, amen, we're not going to have time to get cleaned up. Amen. We're not going to have time to get the things right once that comes. But we're going to have to be right before that day happens. Amen. Even in the book of Revelation, the Lord speaks to us about this. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 3. Revelation 3:3 says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee." Amen. Yes. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15 says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Amen. So exactly what is it that we're watching for? Amen. If you read Matthew chapter 24 or Luke chapter 13 or Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 12, or the book of Revelation, or the book of Daniel, there are going to be some pretty scary and horrible things that are going to take place. Amen. They're going to be what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. Amen. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but if you want to read it, just read those chapters. Amen. Read the book of Revelation. Read Daniel, where it talks about the 70 weeks. Amen. And the conclusion of the 70 weeks. Amen. If you want to read about some terrible things, you'll see them. Those are not the things that we're looking forward to, though. I'm not trying to minister a word, a negative word here tonight, because those are not the things that we're looking forward to. Those are not the things that are going to take place prior to the Lord coming back on the earth, but they are not going to take place prior to the Lord coming back for his church. Amen. To understand the imminence of God, the imminent coming of God, we have to understand that there can be no sign that takes place before that happens. Amen. There can be no warning. Amen. Or otherwise it wouldn't be imminent. Amen. If there was a sign, if there was something to tell us that he was coming, then we could prepare ourselves. We could get ourselves ready. We could get our hearts right with God so that we would make it. Amen. If the tribulation took place before the rapture of the church, then we would have a sign. And we would know that there was something that was coming that would tell us that it was going to happen, say, within the next 7 years. But the Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour. And there's not going to be a sign that warns us that it's about to happen. There's not going to be a sign that tells us the Lord's coming back in a day or in a week or in a month. In the days of Noah, they knew a week before, and no doubt Noah tried to reach out to them. Amen, but it's not going to be that way. We're not going to have a week to prepare. We're not going to have a day to prepare, but we need to be prepared all the time. We need to be ready all the time. God has ordained that the church in the New Testament, the church who has repented of their sins, who has been baptized in the name of Jesus, who has been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the God has ordained that this church is not going to have to go through the Great Tribulation. Amen. We're not going to have to see the things that are prophesied in the book of Revelation. If you read the book of Revelation, 1 through 3 talks about what he has seen. And then chapter 4, John is ascended up into heaven. He is lifted up into heaven. That's representative of the rapture. And after that point, after chapter 4, the church is not mentioned in the book of Revelation. That's because the church is no longer a part of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, from there on, from chapter 6 to about chapter 19 or chapter 20, deals with the church of Israel, deals with his people. It deals with the 70 weeks and the great tribulation. Amen. But we're not going to have to see that. Amen. That's not what we're looking forward to, if that can be looked forward to. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse number 9, excuse me. Turn there with me tonight. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." God has not appointed his church, amen, the church that he paid for with his blood, the church that he went to Calvary for, amen, to go through the wrath of the great tribulation, amen. But the Bible says that we have a blessed hope, amen. We have something to be excited about, amen. We have something to rejoice about. Amen. The same hope that James had, the same hope that the Apostle Paul had, the same hope that Peter had. We have the same hope that was spoken in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." But it, verse 51, this is what I want you to see tonight. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Amen. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Praise God. We're not all going to die. Amen. And you know what? They believe that. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote that, he believed that there was going to be some of them that were not going to taste of death until the Lord came back. Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. That's exciting to me. If that's not exciting to you, I'm sorry, but that's exciting to me. The Lord's coming back for His church. Amen. The Lord's coming back for a church that's watching. Amen. That's made itself ready and that's keeping itself ready. The believers in Thessalonica were watching for the second coming of the Lord. Amen. That's because Paul had been teaching them and preaching to them about watching. And they waited long enough that some of them had died in the faith. And they begin to worry. They begin to worry, well, these that have died, they may not taste of this coming hope, this blessed hope. And they begin to worry about what would happen to those that had died. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 13 is where Paul is addressing this concern. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep," meaning those that are dead, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," do we believe that tonight? Amen. That's what our hope and our faith is built upon. Amen. "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, that the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." You know, those that have died in the Lord, they get a head start on us. Amen. They get a little bit of a head start. Amen. And then it goes on in verse 17. It says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We get the word rapture, and we've talked about it, but we get the word rapture from the word from the Latin word raptura, which means the catching away. Amen. It's the catching away of the church. Amen. The word caught up there in verse 17 translates to the Greek word harpazo, which means to catch away or to catch up. It means to pluck. It means to pull or to take by force. Amen. Comfort one another with these words. Amen. This is what we're looking forward to tonight. This is the hope that we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to the rapture of the church. Amen. That's exactly what's going to happen to His church. Praise God. He's going to pluck us right out of this old world to be with Him in the air. And there we shall be with Him forever, the Bible says. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. If you're having a bad day, you just need to read that. Amen. If you're having a bad day, if you're having everything in your life is going wrong, you just need to read that. "We which are alive and remain," whether we're dead or alive, we're going to be caught up together with Him in the air. But there's a precursor to that. Amen. When we pass from this earth, we have to be ready to meet Him. Amen. And when the rapture takes place, we have to be ready to meet Him. Amen. We have to be ready to meet Him in the air. And then, after this takes place, after the rapture of the church, that's when the great tribulation is going to take place. And then the battle of Armageddon, which we already know who wins. Amen. We can read ahead a little bit. And then Satan's going to be bound upon the earth. And then the Bible says that we as the church, those that have been raptured to meet the Lord, we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years, for the millennium, as priests. Praise God. I hope you're more excited about it then than you are about it tonight. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We're going to be priests, and we're going to come, and we're going to rule, and we're going to reign with Him for 1,000 years upon the earth. Amen. And that's when everything is going to be peace. That's when the lion's going to be able to lie with the lamb. Amen. And little kids are going to be able to play with poisonous animals. Amen. Nothing is going to be evil. We're not going to have to worry about it. Amen. There's people that believe that the Lord has already come back. Amen. That we're in the millennium. Amen. If you want to put this to test, amen, if you've got a lamb, just go put it in a lion's den. Go put it in a cage and see what happens. Amen. But we're not in the millennium, and the Lord has not come back yet. Praise God. God is still coming back, though. Praise God. He hasn't forgotten about us. He's just waiting, and he has long suffering so that others are going to be able to get on the boat. Amen. So that others are going to be able to get on the boat before the door is closed. Amen. And if nobody else does, and if nobody else decides to get on the boat, God's still going to close the door, and God's still going to bring judgment, and God's still going to rapture his church, and God's still going to bring Armageddon and great tribulation upon the earth. Amen. But there's going to come a day when it's going to be too late to get on the boat. There's going to come a day when we're not ready. Amen. If we're not ready for him, amen, we're going to miss out. If we're not watching, we're not going to be ready for the Master to come back. Amen. I want to tell somebody tonight, if you aren't on this boat, get on. Get on the boat. Amen. How do we get on the boat? Repent of your sins. Amen. Ask God to forgive you. Turn away from your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins so that they can be blotted out and washed away. And let God fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost will give you the strength and the ability to walk with God and to live for God all the days of your life. Amen. And if you get dry, if you get empty, if your oil runs dry, amen, then just get refilled. Amen. If you're not on the boat, get on tonight. Amen. If you aren't living for God, amen, and I know I'm just talking to the church tonight, amen, but it doesn't matter. Amen. If you aren't living for God, give your life to him. Amen. If any of us aren't living for God with everything we've got, give your life to him. Be watchful. Be ready. Be waiting because the Lord is coming back. If we aren't doing what we need to be doing, we need to get to it. Amen. Because the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Amen. He's not one to be mocked. Amen. If we think, oh, well, the Lord's not coming back. He's waited all this time. I can go do what I want to do for this week or this month or this year. I can wait to get right with God. I can wait until I turn this age. I can wait until I get to this certain point in my life to get right with God and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. I would be careful because you don't know when the Lord's coming back, and I can't tell you when the Lord's coming back. Amen. The Bible says that there's going to be evil and wickedness upon the earth. There's going to be earthquakes in diverse places. Amen. But no doubt there has been those situations since the beginning of the New Testament church. Amen. Whenever an earthquake would rise up, they would say, look, the Lord's coming back. You got to be ready. And I want to tell you tonight, look, the Lord's coming back. You got to be ready. We've got to be ready tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. One more verse. John chapter number 14, verse number 23. This is the hope that we have. Amen. We don't have to look forward to the rapture. In fact, we're not going to have to experience it. We're not going to have to experience the taking of the mark of the beast and all the things that are contained in there. That's not for the church. But do you know what we do have to look forward to? John chapter 14, verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Jesus isn't going to lie to you. I go to prepare a place for you, for every single one of us. God prepared a place for you. And if you don't go, there's going to be an empty place that he has prepared for you. Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Again, not maybe, not hope so, maybe so. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise God. You know, I can't speak for you, but I know that I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. I look forward to it every day. Amen. The word Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Amen. I want to be ready every day. Amen. But I still want to hasten his coming. I want him to come back. Amen. Yes, I know he's being long-suffering, and I want to see as many people saved as is possible. I want to see my family saved. I know you want to see your family and the people that you work with and those that you know, you want to see them saved. Amen. Amen. But in the wicked world that we live in, God, come quickly. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of this old world. I'm tired of this old flesh. Amen. There's nothing good in this flesh. Maybe there is in yours, but there's nothing good in this flesh. Amen. But until I get to meet him, amen, I'm going to be watching for him. I'm looking forward to the first day of eternity. Amen. And every day thereafter. I want to praise him continually. And you know what? We're never going to get tired. We're never going to get weary. Our voices aren't going to wear out. We're going to be able to praise him and worship him with everything that we've got. Amen. And then whenever a wave crashes down, amen, maybe the wave will come down a little bit and then it'll rise up again and we're going to praise him again and it's never going to get old. I can't wait to worship around his throne. Amen. I just want to be close to him. Amen. I just want to be close to him. But until then, as long as I'm on this old world, and as long as I'm living in this old body of flesh, I've just got to keep on keeping on. I've just got to keep on watching. Amen. I've just got to keep on making sure that I'm ready, checking my heart, checking my spirit. Amen. Repenting and getting right with God daily so that I'm ready when he comes back because I don't want to miss it. Amen. And I don't believe that there's anybody here that wants to miss it. Amen. How awful would that be to live for God for 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years and miss out? All that work, all that struggle, all that effort, and we miss out on the rapture. I'm not missing out. I don't care what it takes. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care what I have to give up. Amen. It doesn't matter. I've got to make it. I've got to make it to heaven. And we've got to make it, church. We've got to be watchful. We've got to be ready. Amen. Amen. Why don't we just lift our voices right now? Why don't we just thank him, amen, for his word? Why don't we just thank him for this promise of his coming and the place that he's prepared for us? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I love you today, God. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Lift your voices right now. God, we worship you. God, we desire you to come back for your church, Lord. God, we want to make sure that we're ready, God. We want to make sure, God, that we're watching for you. God, that our hearts are pure, that our spirits are right, God. Lord, and that there's nothing in us, Lord, that's not pleasing unto you. And that if there is, God, that we would take care of it, Lord. God, we love you today. Oh, Lord, we praise you today, God. Oh, is there anybody that would like to pray tonight? Is there anybody that would like to come and just present yourself before the Lord, to search out your heart before God, and to allow him to wash you and to cleanse you again of all unrighteousness? Oh, don't be ashamed of it. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. Oh, our flesh is deceitful and desperately wicked. Amen. Praise God. Oh, but we have an altar. We have an opportunity. We have an altar tonight that we can come to, that we can get right with him, that we can seek his face. Why don't we just take a moment tonight and do that? Oh, God, I love you today.